Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Diversified Integrated Sports Clinic podcast. My name is James Boyle. We're here today talking all about breast cancer diagnosis, treatment options, techniques to help patients and our listeners help themselves. With us today we have Tamara, Nermeen and Janine. How are you all?
Hi guys, it's very good to be here, especially you, James, being surrounded by three ladies.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And as I tell all women in Breast Cancer Month, know your lemons.
Right.
You know, our physio Paul is very sad that he's not here because he loves to feel lemons. But
well, as having the smallest breasts here, I don't feel in any way inadequate. So Tamara, tell us a little bit about breast cancer in the UAE.
So between the years of 2011 and 2012, the government here conducted a little study where they took 105 random patients and they performed biopsies, and 45 of them was diagnosed with breast cancer. So that's, you know, almost one in two patients, which is a huge, huge, huge number. And of those 45, half of them were women actually aged below 40. So even though breast cancer is thought to be a disease affecting older women, it's actually affecting more and more younger women. And, you know, it could be due to our environment, due mm-hmm. to our lifestyles, due to many other things. Obviously, genetic factors have, play a high likelihood that mm-hmm. somebody will develop breast cancer. So they'd say about 80%.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a very high mortality rate. But it's also affecting a lot of women nowadays that don't have a genetic link.
And do you think that high mortality rate is because a lot of women don't come forward, or some other reason?
Well, I think because a lot of the younger women are just missing the checkups mm-hmm. and, just kind of being like, I don't fall within that category. I don't fall within that age group. Maybe they don't have pain. You know, most of the time presents as a hard, painless lump.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're not checking and missing all the important factors. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and did that study include men as well as women?
They did a small study about men, but it was about 1 in 80 men were diagnosed with breast cancer.
Significantly less.
Yes, significantly less, but it's still there, you know. So we definitely suggest to our male patients to get screened once in a while when you're having your regular checkup, making sure that you have no hard palpable lymph nodes in the area,
mm-hmm.
in the chest area. But definitely, I mean, they still fall within that category.
Let's talk about physiotherapy and what physios can do in your experience of breast cancer with patients.
So a lot of people are not really aware of the importance of physiotherapy in terms of breast cancer management. Actually, physiotherapy plays a very important role, and especially for patients when they do a mastectomy surgery. A lot of people usually present post-mastectomy with a lot of shoulder stiffness, which we know as frozen shoulder. So they'd be complaining of like a lot of scar tissue restriction. They're mm-hmm. unable to like move their shoulder. It's really debilitating when it comes to, you know, day-to-day activities. So you'll have women that can't even like reach the top shelf to get plates down, or mm-hmm. can't even move or drive. So it's it can be very frustrating for
very debilitating.
Yeah, it can be very frustrating for those women, but. So we're trying to raise more awareness about the importance of physiotherapy. It can help a lot. So we usually work more with scar tissue release and soft tissue mobilizations. As part of physio, we do a lot of like range of motion exercises because we want to kind of improve their quality of life and improve their functioning. So we want to get them back to their routine daily activities. So we do a lot of exercises with them and get them stronger, which obviously they can see a marked improvement in their condition post mastectomy.
Are you involved with a treatment sort of before mastectomy as well, or is it in the main post-mastectomy?
I mean, it's very minimal. From a physiotherapy point of view, there's only minimal things you can do before doing the surgery. So there's always like, you can always do like some flushing techniques, myofascial release to help reduce any stiffness in the shoulder to improve shoulder mobility. But it's usually post-mastectomy that you play an important role in the management.
And a question to all of you here, have you ever had a patient who'd initially presented with, for example, frozen shoulder or shoulder problem that later transpired to be coming from breast cancer?
I wouldn't say I've had a patient, but I'll give you an example, a personal example of my mom, who's had frozen shoulder for many years, and then she was diagnosed with breast cancer in the bilateral breasts. So she had frozen shoulder on and off for years, and pain in the breast for years. So there's definitely no correlation, but it'd be very interesting to see, you know, could the stiffness be a compensation to, you know, clenching or feeling pain in a certain area? Also, could it be linked to diet? Because frozen shoulder is also more common in women. Could it be linked to hormones? There's so many different questions we have, and we'd love to get those questions answered by a functional medicine specialist or somebody who understands but more about this. But we'll definitely be touching on the dietary advice that we give to our patients, especially patients, you know, suffering from cancer, going through chemo or recovering. So that's something that's also very important for us to think about, you know, within that scope. But, you know, definitely the scar tissue release, because we see a lot of patients who kind of after the surgery, and a lot of them also undergo reconstruction, which is a lot of load in the body. So not only are you having a mastectomy, but then you're also undergoing a reconstruction, which is more pressure in the area, stretching skin. You'll have a lot of referred pain from the chest to the shoulder, the neck, the mid-back. And maybe some people end up staying in bed more to recover, so they end up getting low back pain, sciatica. So there's a lot of things that we can treat just to make the quality of life of the patient better. And also to slowly get them back to not only their activities of daily living, but leading an active and healthy lifestyle. Because a lot of patients are advised not to exercise, not to do any weights. And we know some incredible women in this community who have undergone these procedures and go back to lifting, you know, running, doing all the things that they haven't even done before. So that's more exciting for us to see the changes.
Okay. Janine, what are the risk factors for breast cancer that some of our listeners or some patients might need to be aware of?
Well, there's a few risk factors. Depends on being female, obviously puts you at higher risk. It's a very low percent in men. I believe it's about 3 or 4%, but it still does exist. People that are sedentary or do not exercise, drinking alcohol a lot, smoking, poor diet, high inflammatory diet, lots of acidic foods.
Yeah. I mean, it's a typical sort of lifestyle advice, isn't it? To me, it always comes up with a lot of diseases, you know, lifestyle factors to change. Stop smoking, stop drinking as much, exercise more, don't be a sedentary, be family. Happier.
Yeah, and even though there are, you know, it's highly linked to genetic factors, but we're also seeing a lot of women who are being diagnosed who have no genetic history, no maternal or no familial link to having breast cancer. And what's even a bit sadder is that more and more women are younger than before. So before it was commonly in ages of 40 and above, and now we're seeing it in 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds. So the screening ages are becoming, you know, much younger. You know, a lot of younger women are referred to go get mammograms or ultrasounds, but we always advise a patient to check themselves, to check for hardness, irregularities, changes in your skin, inverted nipples, feeling not only around the breast, but also under the armpit where all our lymph nodes reside. So it's really important to kind of feel around, and it's better to be safe and sorry, you know, and even sometimes you may feel something that's fibrous, but it's better to check that and have, you know, 6-month follow-ups just to make sure that nothing changes, nothing grows, because things can happen overnight and a lot of times things can be missed.
Yes.
And we've seen this in many of our patients where a lump was missed and after a few, you know, a few months, the pain got worse and worse and worse and they finally found something. So it's very, very important for us to, you know, we keep pushing our patients, get checked younger than you normally think of. Don't think you wouldn't fall within that category. You never know.
Yeah, prevention is always
prevention
the best
is everything,
medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and doing a little background reading, I was interested to read that over 80% of all the breast cancer found is by self-examination, just finding a lump themselves.
Yeah.
And that less than 20% of those are, in fact, cancerous. So it's always worthwhile checking.
Yeah, and the statistics are huge. It's almost 1 in 3 women nowadays. Mm. So, you know, like, I mean, there's 3 of us sitting here. Imagine 1 in 3 of us. That's pretty insane.
Yeah.
So we definitely push our patients to become, you know, more aware and just check. And there's some incredible doctors in Dubai. So, you know, just getting a follow-up takes, you know, an hour every 6 months is fantastic.
So. Yeah. And the link to manual therapy, which Nermeen sort of briefly discussed in helping a patient function after surgery, there are a number of signs that sort of overlap within that musculoskeletal framework, some non-specific signs. What are some of those signs, Jeanine?
Oh, things to look out for. So when a patient presents, sometimes, you know, it can be a pectoralis muscle strain or something underneath their rib dysfunction, but it's important to differentiate any red flags that stick out, like unexpected weight loss, night sweats, pain in the breast area, change of skin, fever, chills, and then just joint pain that's not consistent with any of our musculoskeletal findings.
Right. So basically, you know, the idea of them being non-specific symptoms suggests that they're very common symptoms to have and would indicate that a lot of other conditions would be responsible for those, but it's worthwhile just having everything checked and ruled out in the first place.
Definitely. And, you know, we couldn't also stress lifestyle. And, you know, it's a very fast-paced, stressful lifestyle here. We always talk about that. And we see a lot of our patients who, you know, don't sleep enough, you know, drink so much coffee, mm-hmm. Live on a lot of inflammatory foods, you know. They say, oh, yeah, we eat great. And what do you eat? Well, I live on ham and cheese sandwiches all day, you know. Mm. So definitely look into more, like, changing your lifestyle, living a more balanced lifestyle, more active lifestyle, which is very important, especially here when it gets a bit hot in summer. I mean, you have to go out and make the effort to move.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic for people mentally, physically, you know, feeling better and not only getting like that blood circulation, getting lymphatic circulation. So mm-hmm. I couldn't stress on that more.
Okay. We have an exciting event here next week. Maybe you tell us about that.
Yeah. So we're going to have a small breast cancer wellness day from 12 to 2 p.m. next Tuesday, which is the 26th. And what we're doing as the clinic together is just showing women how they can do things like foam rolling and stretching and balancing out posture, 25th of October, how to do lymphatic drainage, small exercises that you can start doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can answer questions that people have about exercise. For example, is weight training good for you post-mastectomy?
Okay.
And obviously it takes time and making sure the wound is healed, but we think weight training is fantastic for women, especially older women, because it increases your bone mass and your bone density. And
mm-hmm.
and I think it's very, very important. And we have a fantastic doctor that we really love and respect, Dr. Leila, who is a breast cancer survivor herself. She's an OBGYN, but also the only functional medicine specialist in the UAE.
Okay.
And she's going to be coming and giving like a small lecture on prevention, on treatment, on, you know, on life post-diagnosis and
okay.
how to change your lifestyle. And she's incredible. I mean, if you see her train and the way she eats, and she's just a very big inspiring role model.
Wow.
So it's very exciting to have her at the clinic, and it's open to everyone. So just call us and let us know you're coming. And we'll have treats and fun times and pink nail polish. And you too, James.
Right, sure. Pink nail polish.
We're all looking at you.
Ribbons.
Yeah,
excellent.
So it'll be a great day.
That sounds fantastic. And obviously, if any of our listeners have any questions that they'd like to pose to any of us here on this subject or any others that we discuss, they can write an email into us at contact@disc-me.com or contact the clinic directly if they want to speak to any of us here. And also to come next Tuesday, just to let us know your name and what time you're going to be here. 12 till 2, right?
12 to 2, yeah. And any questions you have about therapy or treatment or any kind of musculoskeletal pain you're suffering post-surgery,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, mastectomies or anything within that line, I think would be, you know. Also, we have a lot of patients undergoing hysterectomies that don't realize the scar tissue around that can cause a lot of low back pain, you know, because of all the fascial chains. And
yeah.
So just, you know, the education is key, and getting people moving and aware of what's going on and how to prevent and fix it
right.
is very, very important. So
great.
We look forward to all working on this together.
Super. All right. Well, anyone else for any input, anything else you'd like to say?
Well, we just also want to advise men to check, right? So
right.
even though it's a small percentage of the population, like Jeanine said, 3-4%, but also check, you know, your pectoralis areas, check for enlarged lymph nodes, check for abnormalities, you know.
Right.
We know you are all a little bit more hypochondriac than us women, but but it is important to get screened.
Right, so. And I'm sure that's something that will be gone through quite clearly on Tuesday.
Yeah, and then, you know, next month we'll definitely be checking up on our mustache month, which is prostate cancer, and hopefully getting all the men here to grow a beard. Can you grow a beard, James?
Maybe. If you give me more notice, that would have helped.
You have 2 weeks. But
responsible makers grow it.
Yeah, so we'll talk about prevention and screening.
I'll grow mine if you grow yours.
Don't have one.
Okay. Well, I look forward to Prostate Month next month. Then. Great. All right. Well, we'll see you all again next podcast.
That right? Thank you,
take
guys.
Care.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Bye.